Father, thank you so much. Father, we pray the spirit of adventure would just abide with us, Lord, that we would know that we are aliens and strangers in this world, that we are just pilgrims looking for that city built, whose foundation is built by God. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we just go through this journey, Lord, that you would walk closely by us, that you would be ever present, and we would sense your power and grace and your presence and your love in our life. God, we need you so much. Be with us in Jesus' name, even this morning, God. Help us to lay a hold of you today. In Jesus' powerful name, we ask. Amen. Wow. Well, we're having a baby dedication service today for little Eli Hinton. Yeah, amen. Welcome to the world, brother. Oh, okay. Born on the first day of the year. Wow, that's so cool. And, of course, we all call him Eli. His given name is actually Elijah. Elijah David Hinton. Isn't that a powerful name? Wow. I love names. Names carry such huge significance. I really believe that there is prophetic significance in what you name your child or what name they ultimately take for themselves. That is so important. It's critical. As I thought about little Eli, and the name that was given to him. You know, when we name our children something, we name them after something that's significant to us. Something that's meaning, that has value. It may be named after another person. It may be named after someone in the Bible. We could name them for a number of different reasons. But there is a significance and a value to the name that we give them. There's a meaning behind it. And it's a reflection of the direction that we're going to raise them in their life. It reflects our heart, the name that we give our child. There is something about us in that name. And so it's critical. And it reflects how we're going to train them up and raise them, what values we're going to give to them, how we are going to model to them what is really, truly important in life, and what is right and what is wrong, and what is real and what is simply vapor. And I love this name, Elijah David Hinton. Man, praise God, you named him well. Now, normally when I do a baby dedication, I talk about parenting. And that's cool and everything, because that's basically what a baby dedication is. It's a way of us saying to God, acknowledging that our children are a heritage from God, and that we want to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want to raise them in the faith, build a good foundation for them to build their lives upon, and acknowledge not only that they're from God, but that we absolutely, critically need God's grace to raise them successfully to be an adult. It's a tough world out there. And our children face challenges. We face challenges growing up that were incredible, but our children, it seems like it gets tougher and tougher every day. The things that they are beset with in the media. In my parents' day, all they had was radio. You know, we've got radio, we've got CDs, we've got MP3s, we've got television, cable, satellite, we've got computers, we've got iPods and iPod phones and iPhones. It's endless. The doors that we have that influences come into our life. Everywhere we turn, we're bombarded by something. And that's not to mention our peers. I mean, all of the people we interact with. I used to think that peer pressure only belonged to teenagers. But, you know, grown-ups have peer pressure too. We really do. It's a tough world out there, and a lot of people get taken out, and a lot of people get shipwrecked. And we don't want that for our posterity. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can buy every book on the shelf. You can do everything in your power. But unless the Lord builds the house, it's so much spitting in the wind. And so that's why I want to talk today about Elijah's name, or Eli's namesake, Elijah. the Lord just put it on my heart, the Holy Spirit, when I thought about, well, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? He just, that name just, it like, it glowed in my heart. It was like, talk about Elijah. Because that's meaning, it's prophetic. I really believe it's prophetic. I don't think that was any accident or coincidence at all. God impressed that name upon your hearts to give to this young man. Elijah. What do we see when we look at Elijah? What do we think about when we think about Elijah? Anybody, tell me something about Elijah. Mighty prophet. Yes, probably one of the greatest prophets in Scripture. Anybody else? Challenge the prophets of Baal.
He lived in the supernatural.
Lived in the supernatural. I'm loving this. Keep going. Obedient, yes. Somebody else? Called fire down from heaven. Was known for that.
Man.
Still had his share of fear and worry. He was a human. He was a man with passions like us. Anybody else? Huh? He's coming back. Isn't that something? That's awesome. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I do too. I do too. Yes, he passed the mantle on to Elisha. Taken to heaven before he died. He was one of, we talked about this at a youth group the other night, one of only two men in the Bible who never died, taken to heaven without dying. Wow. Okay, man, you guys have heard of this guy. Okay, well, you know, I guess I don't have to talk anymore. I mean, that was easy. And I stayed up all that time preparing for today. I could have just given it to you. When I think about Elijah and the Lord impressed upon me three things about Elijah. That he was, one, an evangelist. Number two, a revivalist. And number three, a restorationist. Now, just, you know, for the record, some people use the word restorationist to refer to universalism. I don't mean it in that regard at all. You'll see how I use that word when we get there. But he was an evangelist, a revivalist, and a restorationist. This was a unique, uncanny dude. So let's break these down one at a time and take a look at them, because I really believe this is prophetic towards the life of Eli as well. I think that God is going to show these reflections in his life. And that's why I want to lay a hold of these things. I think that's why the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Number one, Elijah was an evangelist. He was the first prophet in Scripture to reach out beyond Israel to the Gentiles to bring them basically the message of how they could be saved by the one true God. The very first prophet to break out of that mold, go outside the walls and witness to Gentiles. Here's what happened. A little bit of background. Actually, a lot of bit of background. I got to give you a big story. So a guy named King Ahab. Was he a good guy or was he a wicked guy? Bad guy. Had the black hat, you know, shades. You knew he was bad. Bad to the bone. Anyway. Ahab was a wicked king in Israel. He married. Now, were the Israelites supposed to marry anybody they wanted, or did they have to be fellow Israelites? Fellow Israelites. Was God serious about that? You better believe it. He didn't want that influence to draw out the people until they were just scattered among the nations. King Ahab was a wicked king. He married a bloodthirsty, violent, idol-worshipping Gentile woman named Jezebel. Jezebel was a worshiper of the idol Baal, the false god Baal. And when she married Ahab, she ordered the execution of all the prophets of the Lord in Israel. She ordered the execution of all the prophets of Yahweh, of Jehovah. That was a bad woman. And then she set up 450 prophets of Baal in their place. And then just to add insult to injury, an additional 400 prophets of the false god Asherah. And under her influence, the Israelites began to combine Baal worship with the worship of the one true God. They didn't reject the true God completely. They just tried to syncretize them both into one religion. And they would worship, you know, they'd worship God on the Sabbath, and they'd turn around in the evening and go home and, you know, or to the high places and make sacrifices to Baal. They tried to have it both ways. When we were in Peru, we saw that. Houses with the cross in the yard and idols on top of the roof. But our God is a jealous God. He does not allow his people to mix demon worship with the worship of the one true God. And Paul says in the New Testament that that's what idol worship is. It is demon worship. There are demonic forces attached and linked to these idols. And God is not going to share his bride with demons. Elijah was jealous for the glory of God. He saw all this going on. He heard about prophets being hid in caves so they wouldn't be executed by Jezebel. He saw Baal worship just taking over, and God's people, God's particular holy nation, his peculiar people that he had reserved above all the peoples of the world for himself, was being corrupted. And Elijah was jealous for the glory of God. He was jealous for the truth, because people were being seduced by a lie and being brought into demonic bondage. And their lives were going on a slippery slide to destruction. God, Elijah knew that God had called out Israel to be a special people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests separated unto him. And God also had promised that if the nation ever turned to idol worship, that God would shut up the heavens and make them like brass and would withhold the rain so that the crops would dry up. And so, armed with that knowledge, Elijah began to pray some dangerous prayers. He began to pray that God would fulfill what God had promised to do, that he would shut up the heavens and withhold the rain from the land. And the Lord agreed he would do that. So Elijah went to King Ahab, and he told him in 1 Kings 17:1, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand." Isn't that awesome?